there's no mountain too high, no river too wide. Sing out this song and I'll be there by your side.
Welcome back to Tivating Patiently, the appreciation podcast that highlights, dives deeper, and celebrates the work and accomplishments of our Tony-winning national treasure, Aaron Tveit. My name's Elizabeth, and this week has been an incredible week to be an Aaron Tveit fan, and that kicked off first thing Monday morning when Aaron just, you know, casually drops the long-awaited Nextland short, which is the follow-up to Graceland. Like, it's already news enough when Aaron posts on any social media because he just doesn't. So when I first got the first notification that he posted, I was like, oh my gosh, it's the baby announcement, because like that's what's next. But no, it was the 10-minute love letter to Graceland that Aaron and Brandon wrote back 3 years ago. And we knew it was written. We knew that they had it filmed. It was just like, where is it? Will it ever see the light of day? And Aaron just posts it. Like, he just, it's like we were joking. I was joking with friends, like, that he just, you know, sitting on his couch at home with Miles next to him drinking his coffee and just looks at Miles and's like, watch this, and just posts. And there it is. And everybody collectively lost their mind with the, what does this mean? Like, is there going to be more? Like, so many questions. And I, like, looking at it, it took like seconds for my brain to process what it actually was. Like, it came on and then like, there's Brandon. And it's like, oh my God, he's Jake's. And then you see Mikey standing across the street. And then he runs back to the house. And the throwback to the season one of Graceland with the orange juice was brilliant. Like, in that moment, Jake's knew there's nowhere for him to go. Mikey is onto him. Mikey has been onto him for a while that he set this up. Like, unbelievable. And there's so many questions. There's so much that, like, everything could mean. Like, what's Mikey running from? Like, who did Jake's kill at the start, or who, not who did he kill, but who was he burying at the start of the short? Like, where is everybody? When Jake's asks about Briggs, he calls him the ghosts, and he's like, how is he? And Mikey's like, you tell me. So does Jake's know something about Briggs? But personally, have to say, I loved Mikey's reaction when he was asked about how's Paige, and Mikey cut him off because, like, good for you, Mikey, whatever happened, do you finally, like, feel the Paige rage that the rest of us feel for how she treated you in season 2 and 3? Like, all these years later, the Paige rage is real. But so it was just kind of like, is that it? Like, the 10 minutes end and it's like, oh my gosh, like, what does this mean? And then, you know, the next day, Brandon drops on his Twitter, like, a 10 second little teaser saying what's next and telling us to pay attention to YouTube on November 1st. Like, what is coming to YouTube on November 1st? Are there going to be more episodes? Is it going to be some kind of announcement? Like, what is coming? Like, I absolutely cannot wait to find out. And that was all happening before noon on Monday morning. And then, you know, later in the afternoon, Aaron's limited series, Earth Abides, which will premiere on MGM Plus on December 1st, they drop their official trailer and we get our first look at Aaron as Charlie. And I got messages from people who have read the book and they're just saying, like, Aaron looks so good for playing a character that is such a creep. And I haven't read the book and, full disclosure, probably won't read it. But, like, we know now that Aaron plays those dark characters so well. So, like, can't wait to see what's coming. That limited series is 6 episodes. The first 2 premiere on December 1st. Aaron will be in episodes 4 and 5. Who knows for how long? Who knows how much screen time he will see? But we do know by now that Aaron knows how to make the most out of every little bit and every second of screen time that he gets whenever he's in a production or a show. But Aaron wasn't done with this yet, because after that, it was shared, or a news article came out, that Aaron would be performing God Bless America at Game 3 of the Yankee-Dodgers World Series at Yankee Stadium. Like, we don't see him, or we don't hear from him, and then boom, like, he's posting twice on social media in one day. He's going to be performing at the Yankees, which you know that he loves, and, like, deep down had a feeling that the Yankees was not going to broadcast that his performance, but thank goodness for those that were in the stadium that recorded it and were willing to share it so we could hear his performance, hear his opt-up. Like, it's crazy. And just the amount of messages of people saying, like, well, I guess I like sports now, or this is the only reason I would ever turn on a baseball game is for Aaron. Like, same. Absolutely same. So Monday was just insane. And then Tuesday, we got Brandon's little teaser of something coming Friday. So, like, cannot wait. Cannot wait to find out what is next in Nextland. But for this week's episode, last year for the 20th anniversary of Wicked, I talked with my friend Christina about the show, and we rewatched one of Aaron's performances. And Christina loves Moulin Rouge like I do, but Wicked is to her what Moulin Rouge is to me. And she had so much insight about the show and the lines and the acting and the staging. And she had so much, like, thoughtfulness for what things mean and the messages behind it. And, like, going back and re-listening to that episode last year, I'm like, this has to be reshared, because as I'm recording this, it's October 30th. So it is National Wicked Day, and it's also Wicked's 21st anniversary of being on Broadway, which is insane. And then next month, you know, we have the Wicked movie finally coming out into theaters, and the anticipation for that has been so high. So for this week, hope you enjoy this throwback to last year's Wicked episode and my conversation about the show and Aaron's performance as Fiero with Christina. I guess our main focus that we were going to talk about for this episode was Wicked, since they just celebrated their 20th anniversary on Broadway. And Aaron, of course, was a part of that show back in 2008, 2009. So we were going to talk about Wicked, our experiences with the show. And then we went back and we rewatched Aaron's second to last show from March 7th of 2009. So I guess before we get into that, do you want to kind of share our memories with Wicked? Like, when you first saw it, like, you have stories. Like, when did you first see it? Your biggest memory with it? Go ahead. You go first.
So, because Wicked premiered in 2003. So that was the year, my freshman year of high school. That would have been my freshman year of high school. And so my older sister was a senior that year. And so at her graduation, they sang, which I'm sure every single high school all around the United States sang For Good at, like, their graduation, right? And my high school choir, you know, theater teacher was, like, obsessed with it. And so then I think the first time I saw it was in the LA, when they did their LA, they were, like, in LA for, like, 4 years. Mm-hmm. You know, they just, like, did a production in LA, because being from California, most of the times I've seen it has been in LA. I think I've seen it in LA 3 times, once in San Francisco, and then once in New York. But yeah, so I think that was the first time. And then every time I see it, I swear, I just, like, get chills. And it's like, whenever I talk to anybody that's like, oh, I'm getting, like, I don't know a whole lot about theater, like, what's a good show to go to? My immediate recommendation is always Wicked. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like it's, like, musical theater, like, Moulin Rouge is, like, a spectacle, right? And it's, like, pop music, and it's all of that. But, like, Wicked is, like, musical theater, but, like, for the masses. Like, that's how it, obviously, because it's been running for 20 years, right? So that's you always have a good day when you go to Wicked, right? It's never a bad performance. But like probably the biggest like connection I have with Wicked was my husband and I got engaged at Wicked. So I was thinking it was his first show, and it wasn't. His first show that I took him to was sitting over there, was Phantom of the Opera, and that was also in LA, which was a that was a show to go to for your first one. We had seen a couple of shows in LA before that, and so he had gotten me, and he knew that I like loved musical theater and I loved Wicked, so he had got me Wicked tickets for Christmas that year. And then at that Christmas actually was when he like asked my dad if he could like marry me, and I just thought like I didn't know when it was going to happen, but he had got Wicked tickets and I was just like so excited. But then he had also like planned a dinner the next weekend, like a really fancy dinner, and so like I was not expecting it at all. Went to the theater. It was a great show. I actually found the like a slime tutorial of that cast. Don't have it quite yet, but it's coming.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and so after the show wrapped up, we were sitting there and we're just chatting. We're like looking at the theater. The Pantages in LA is a beautiful theater. It's got like a beautiful roof and all this detailing. And so we're just like talking and looking at it. And then he started like talking about things. And then yeah, all of a sudden the next thing, like he was down on one knee in the aisle. So like the guys are coming through, like sweeping up the trash of the show. And he's like down on, and he didn't want to have the ring box like in a box in his pocket
Okay.
because he knew I would notice. And so he took the ring out and he put it in a gum wrapper in his pocket. And he was like so nervous the whole night, like that he was going to lose it or whatever. Anyways, but then, yeah, so I like don't remember anything he said because I was just like sobbing. And then you can't take pictures, obviously, like in the theater. And so we went right outside and then we like took a picture. And then we were leaving because we were both in grad school at that time. And so we were driving home and I was like calling and texting everybody and, calling all my sisters and he was driving. And then we're driving and all of a sudden I go, "Oh, you missed the exit, like to go back to our house." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, it's okay. I'm gonna turn around. I was just like so excited." And so I keep texting and calling like my family and my friends. And then the next thing I know, he's like pulling into a restaurant. And I was like, "Where are you going? This is not the way home." And he was like, "No, it's fine. Let's just go inside." And so we go in, and like my family was there, his family was there, all of my friends. So like he had like set up a little like dinner for us. But yeah, so that's like, I think that's part of the reason why I hold Wicked so close and dear, because it's a
Of
fun
course.
time.
Oh, Paul, he's a keeper.
Oh yeah, he
He's a
is.
keeper. Oh, that's so, I love that story. That's so special.
Yeah,
But of course, yeah,
it
that
was
makes
awesome.
sense. That's, of course, you'll have that connection. But yeah, I saw it for my first time. My first two times were when it was on tour in Philly. Dan and I went when we were still dating, and then we went right after Jacob was born. And then the first time on Broadway was a part of my friend's bachelorette, because she's not the tradition, she doesn't want the tradition, what you think of for bachelorette. So that's what we did. So it was still a day thing. And the show hit different going like with Dan versus going with like a group of your girlfriends.
Oh yeah, totally.
Like it hit a lot different that time, like especially like with For Good. Like I was like
Sob.
teary and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So that was special. But you're right, you never don't have a good time. But I remember the very first time seeing it, like you say chills, but I didn't know like the storyline, how it was going to end. And I just remember like gasping at the end, like after you
At
see
the end.
she gets melted and then Fiyero comes and like, he
Yeah.
saves her. I was like, oh, I love it.
You
I love
like
it.
freak out.
Yes.
It's like I still think, yeah, Defying Gravity has got to be one of my favorite of all time act one, finale numbers. Because like she flies. Like how like you can't beat that, right?
No, you can't beat that. And like, yeah, go ahead.
That's just like, I
That's
don't
it.
even know what else to say. Like, she
Yeah.
flies. It's incredible.
And that
You can't
final note
even.
at the end, like what, and then she takes the broom and just like shuts the lights off. Like,
Yeah.
oh,
And it's
so
just,
good.
and it's
So good.
insane. Like,
Yeah.
I have seen videos of like a no-fly show, which I know it happens. Like, the
Right.
odds of it happening on tour are so much more higher than
Right.
like a no-fly show in New York because, they're moving from place to place. And I think it'd be so interesting to see a no-fly show just because, like, I don't know. Like, I think it'd be so interesting because, like, that's, pure musical theater, like live theater, right? But also, it's like she flies. So, like, you
Right.
want to see her go up in
Yes.
the cherry picker.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It just, yeah, gives me goosebumps every single time.
Every time. But
Every
so we
time.
watched Aaron's show. So we had Aaron Espiero, Nicole Parker was Alphaba, and I hope I say her name right, Ally Mozzie
I
was
think that's right,
Glinda.
yeah.
Yep, was Glinda.
Yes.
And I said it to you. I like haven't seen it in a while, and I forgot how funny Glinda was.
He's
Like
so
just
funny.
how her mannerisms and just the things she says and all of like the nonsense words that they create
They
within it.
make
It's
up.
so clever. But
I had a note, I thought, because I like was taking notes while I was watching. I
Me
gotta
too.
find it because it's what at the very beginning, she like her hand motion when like she's in the bubble, she's sung No One Mourns the Wicked, and then they're like, Glinda, did you know her? And she's like that or whatever, and she like makes the hand motion for them to lower the bubble, and I like just bust out laughing because it's just like so funny. I don't know, like the one thing, and I'm like, I wish I could talk to Joe Mantello, the director, and be like, she should be holding the Grimmery at the beginning of the show. So the Grimmery, right, is a spell book. And at the very end, spoilers, if you haven't seen Wicked, I guess,
She has it.
at the very end, she has it and she goes back up into the bubble. And I really wish that they had her have it at the beginning. That way it was just like, you could, because at the beginning, you wouldn't know why she has this book, right? But
Right.
like, I don't know. That's just my thought. But yeah, and I love I so I was listening to the what is it? The Sentimental Men podcast. And so like they always ask whoever's on their podcast, like what, like their Alphabas, they ask like, are you a I'm Not That Girl, No Good Deed, or like Defying Gravity Wicked Alphaba, or like if you're a Glinda, it's like, are you a No One Mourns the Wicked, popular, or Thank Goodness? And so Allie had said she was No One Mourns the Wicked. And I don't know why, but I just thought that was interesting. And Nicole had said she was a Defying Gravity Alphaba. Just fun facts.
Oh, those are good facts. I haven't ever listened to that, so that's interesting.
Yeah. Let me see, where else? Yeah, Glinda is so funny at the beginning. And where is it? There's also like I love at the beginning too how much they emphasize like how good Glinda is, right? Like how good of you to do this. You are so good, but that doesn't mean, right? Like that's the whole point. Like good doesn't mean right or
Right.
kind or
Yeah.
like obviously that's like one of the themes of the show, right? Like and I just love how at the beginning, like they emphasize that so much. And then like, obviously it comes full circle at the end. But yeah, I don't know. I just and then as I was watching it too, another thought I had, this is a complete welcome to my brain thought. How does the wheelchair move?
Because she
Because
doesn't move it.
obviously it's automated. So no, so like because at the beginning, they're making fun of Elphaba, and then they're gonna take Nessa Rose away, and she goes no, and she like puts her hands out, and she does her first like bit of magic in front of everybody, but the chair like spins around and comes back all the way to her. But I've watched my fair share of Wicked. It's not on a track, so it's obviously automated. Like, is it a remote control? Is someone manually remote controlling it? Is it just like a little robot computer inside, which is probably what it is, because it's not on like a track on the stage.
Yeah.
How like the set pieces move on and off, those are on tracks. Anyways, that was a thought I had
I don't
watching
know.
this the other day.
Keep that little bit of magic still in there.
Yeah.
Don't figure it out.
Don't figure it out. Don't figure it out.
I don't know. I just love listening back to it and just all of the just the wizard and I could be so happy. I'm so happy I could melt. Like just
Yes.
all of the little
The little
lines and
like
lyrics that
things.
are just Easter eggs to the Wizard of Oz and just setting up and
Yes.
foreshadowing what happens.
Yes. Because she also says like a celebration throughout Oz. That's all to do with her, which does happen, right? At the end. It's not in the way she thinks or hopes for, right? But like the celebration because of her does happen, right? And then she also like I love the like how Stephen Schwartz did the like unlimited, you know, and then it's like she sings it in The Wizard and I. She sings that same riff in Defying Gravity, and then they sing it again in like For Good, and it's just like the three, you know, big moments in the show, and I just makes me like
I know
melt in my chair.
it's just all genius,
It
but
really is.
I don't know. And then if I'm going to jump ahead, if you have something to
Yes.
add, like go back, but just jumping ahead, I mean, after the something bad between Elphaba and Dr. Dillamon, in comes Fiyero
And
and
here comes Fiyero.
Aaron, and just I love that even in concerts all these years later, he has shared that his first line or his first like
This
set
is
of lines is his favorite. It's
and
so
he
funny.
the line read he does on that is one of the best. Like his Fiyero, and again, like I know I'm biased, I think, but like
We
I
are.
think his Fiyero is one, like, is one of the best. Like, he plays that pretentious a-hole like so well at the beginning, right? And like he said that, where it's like the meaner I am at the beginning, the sweeter it is like towards the end, right? But yeah, and the fact that Fiyero doesn't come in till 30 minutes into the show, like he doesn't come in till 30 minutes, and then I also like clocked it, he's only on stage for about 30 minutes total. Which is insane to me, but like at the same time, like the fact that he can do so much in such little time, right? Like,
Oh, absolutely. And
yes.
what?
And then like going into his dancing through life, like
Yes.
it's again back with like all of the foreshadowing, like all of the brainless, life's more painless for the brainless, why to think too hard. You know,
Thoughtless,
those thoughtless. And then on top of that, like the choreography is very scarecrow coded, right? Like it's all elbows, it's all, which, like, once you know, right? And you can see all these things. But like the first time you watch it, you like, you're not really thinking about any of that. And I just, I, his, his dancing through life just makes me so happy.
I know. And like I love how he's doing these dance moves, but then Glinda's imitating him and the other
Yes.
students are imitating him.
Art.
But
Yes.
and then like the one part, I mean, I know it's part of the show, but when Elphaba, you know, she comes down, she's got the hat on and everybody's scared and she just starts dancing. And Fiyero says like she really doesn't care what anybody thinks. And Glinda's like, yes, she does. She's just not showing
Just
it. But
pretends like she doesn't. Yeah.
some of like that dancing, like how did they get through that? Not like, 'cause there's not music right away or it's very low.
Right.
Like how did they
Yeah.
get through that without like
I have no
laughing?
idea. And I'm pretty sure like the stage direction is probably make it as awkward as possible,
Yes,
right? Like that's
yes,
got to be what it is. 'Cause like the
yes.
secondhand awkwardness you feel in that scene is just like so much, but like I don't know how they get through that without laughing. And I'm sure they don't sometimes, you know. I'm sure there are days that they just like bust up because how could you not, you know? But yeah, I just I think, and I know like Dancing Through Life, like obviously it's in the title, and Aaron has said before he's not a dancer, which we all know is a lie. Like it's
Yeah.
such a lie. But like compared to other Fieros, again, like I'm gonna compare him. His dancing is way more on point than like others. Like I know we've talked about, especially Norbert, right, where it looks like they're just giving him choreography or beats to hit. Whereas like when Aaron's there, which is, about 5 years later, they actually have full choreography. But even since then, like they've kept that choreography, and his, dancing, I feel like, is so much more elevated than like some of these others for a non-dancer, quote
For
unquote.
non-dancer. Oh my gosh.
Non-dancer.
Come on, Aaron.
Come on.
I know. But I don't know. And then, like, the first big, I guess, one of the first big Fiero Alphaba moments is when she freaks out when, was it the lion, when the lion comes into the
The Lion
class?
Cub.
Yes, the
Yes.
lion comes
Yeah.
into the class and she freaks out, and everybody is like, I mean, it's so amazing. Like, they're all reacting and, dancing, like, not dancing, but the choreography to get off stage, and Fiero's fine.
Yes. Right.
So, like, how she and he, and then that whole conversation of like, you're always causing a commotion.
Right. It's
There's no
me.
pretense here. And then he asks her, why am I the only one you didn't do that to?
Yes. Yeah,
So,
that whole scene, and again, like I'm gonna specifically talk about Aaron in that
Yes.
scene, right? Like his acting choices he makes, I think, are just so funny and so on. Like you can tell, like the moment, so like he goes and he's like, if you don't want my help or whatever, and he like
Right.
starts to walk away, and she like grabs his hand, and you can like
Yeah.
see it, like, oh shoot, there's that. And then it goes into the like, oh yeah, maybe he stretched me or something, and he's like dazed or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think like his line reading again of that, I'm gonna sound like a broken record, is just so good. And then like it's also hilarious to me, like, so then he picks up the cub and he runs the wrong, direction
Yes.
off the stage, and then he comes running back. And the way he just like is holding the lion cub and like running like high knees, I don't know. It's such a choice, and it's an amazing choice. But yeah, I love that.
And then when they're, yeah, so that's like the start of the Alphaba Fiero switch, the feelings, and then her and Glinda are going to Oz, and that's like when, they have their moment until Glinda comes over to them, and
Right.
then he's kind of like, okay,
It goes
have a good
back
trip.
and they're like,
Yeah.
like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be. Right.
But he
Yeah.
even,
I just.
that's when Glinda catches it too, because he doesn't, react affectionately to her
Right. Exactly.
anymore. So
Yes.
that's the
And
switch
I
there.
think just, yeah, I think it's just such a good commentary on like what you're supposed to be or what you think you're supposed to be and how you actually are, like, those types of things. Because like obviously on paper, right, Glinda and Fiero are perfect because they're
Yeah.
both,
They're
perfect.
perfect
And so they would,
together.
why not? Why wouldn't they be perfect together? But
Yeah.
then just the fact that he could see Alphaba for like who she was, and then she could also in turn see Fiero for like the person who he is underneath that perfect facade that he has, or the bad boy facade, right? Just kiss. So good.
All right. So now, I guess jumping to right before the end of Act One
Wow.
with Defying Gravity. I know
Oh.
we're jumping around,
Just,
but we could go forever.
we could, we really could.
No, it's just
I
like,
just
just
like the,
how, go ahead.
no, you keep going.
It's just how the whole scene starts. Like she has the spell, she has like the book, and she says the spell and nothing happens, and then Glinda's like, I guess you're not as powerful as you think you are. And then the thing that flew was the broom, and then that just
Right. And
kickstarts.
then it's just like, Oh, it
the
just like
magic.
clicks, right? Because she's like, where are your wings? Where are your wings? And then, yeah, I just like the whole like tear, and I wrote this in my notes because I was like, everyone, first of all, everyone in her family is the worst. Like in Elphaba's family, like they're all the worst. Like her mom couldn't wait, like couldn't wait for her dad to leave the fastest. Her dad is just a horrible person. And then like Nessa, we'll get to her later, probably.
Oh
But like,
yeah.
girl, you know, and then like everybody just like takes advantage of her, right? Like as soon as Morrible sees she has power, she's like, oh, I can use this girl to get to the wizard. Same thing, you know, and the wizard is like, oh, I can use her to create my spies, right? And even Glinda, like in her roundabout way, like maybe she didn't intentionally try, but like she does. And so then, like, when she becomes like she stands up, right, and becomes the Wicked Witch of the West after like Glinda puts the cape on her and the music is done, you know, whatever. And it just like all gets quiet. And I just like, it's just like, you know, I just
Yeah,
like get
that
the chills because, like, of course, right? Just, and then, yeah, she backs up and the whole, you know, I think it's really, I'm always the type of person that, like, this is another side note. I like to watch all the behind the scenes. Like, I like to know how, like, things go. And so, like, knowing how she goes up to, like, doesn't take away any of the magic. I think it's just, like, so fascinating that she's standing on this little tiny, like, platform, 30 feet in the air, seeing her face off, right? Like, you know, I love it. It
And
just makes
she's
me
hooked in with that huge, with that long skirt to
skirt,
like
right? So it
give
looks
the
like
illusion,
her
so you
skirt,
don't, yeah, so you don't see what she's on, and it just gives the illusion of the air, and she's
and
how
she's
she's like, it's
flying and she's
flowing
holding on to
behind
the
her.
broom, and like the broom is what's carrying her. And again, like all of the, like, you know, Easter eggs, right, into the Wizard of Oz, right? Like that's where her magic broom comes from, that's where her flying monkeys come from, you know, like all of those things. And all she wanted to do was just like help people, help the animals, like be loved. And then just like, obviously, she's gonna go this way, right? So, yeah, I still think it's like the perfect act one opener. And then you have like the entire company come down and they're all like singing at her. And it's amazing. I love it. Chills.
Every time.
Every time, I will say that. I like every time, chills.
And then in Act Two, we start with the thank goodness, and we have Glinda the Good, and we have a Fiero who is not putting up with any of the BS anymore. Like he's now
He's
that,
over it. He
yep,
is.
he's the soldier. And
Yes.
you know,
I think.
he's still putting on that facade, but in a different way of that he's a soldier to get Alphaba, but he's a
But
soldier to find Alphaba.
exactly. Yeah. And again, like, I think the acting choices that Aaron makes in that scene specifically, like, every time someone says, like, wicked, you can see it in his face. Like, he hates that. And he hates that he can't say anything or like go against them or whatever. Or in all of the like lies and beliefs that people have about her, right? You can see it like building on him until he finally just like explodes. And he's like, that's not true.
It's the final one, which is the big one of like pure water. She's pure water will
Pure
melt
water.
her. And that's when he's like,
Yes.
what?
Yes, exactly. And it's like, oh, and I love that, like, right? Obviously, he's in that scene. He knows water will melt her. Like, that's what people think. And then it comes back again, right? In Wonderful, in the scene for Wonderful, because he's like, go fetch me a bucket of water as much as you can carry, right? To his soldiers or whatever. And then obviously, and this is, okay, this is again my brain. This is how problematic my brain is. I went back and watched The Wizard of Oz, not recently, but like, the Scarecrow is the one who comes up with the bucket.
Yes, because
Like,
he needs it first because he's on fire, but
he's
then
on fire.
he gives it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which it's like
It's so genius. It's so
the
good.
genius of it, the cleverness of it.
Yes.
I love it so much. And it's
Yep.
just like, because like that's the first time he hears like water will melt her. And then, yeah, it comes back, comes back, it comes back. And it's like, well, obviously he's gonna melt her with some water. Like, what?
So going back to, I guess, where she comes in with, like, after that scene, but then she's in, is it Nessa's house where she is
I'm
with
gonna
Nessa and,
assume it's like the palace in Munchkinland, right? Or the governor's house, right?
Because
Because
she,
she's
yeah, the
now the
governor's, because she's
governor
the governor with Bach, and how she just appears in, like, the mirror of
in the
the
glass.
wardrobe.
Yes.
Yes, like,
Oh,
that's amazing.
such Ness is the worst. Like, she
Yeah.
really is from the beginning. Like, she is just a spoiled little brat who always gets her way, and she can't fathom not getting her way, right? You add, like, she's in the wheelchair, and that like adds a layer onto it, right? Because she has that. But like in that scene, I think it's just so apparent. Like, she's like, she yells at Elphaba for never trying to get her out of the chair, and so she like magics the shoes and turns them into the red ruby shoes, which red ruby shoes. And then Bach, which also Bach, like, man, just get over it. Get over it. Linda is not gonna be with you. Just get
She's
over it,
just not
man.
that into you. Yes.
She's, yeah,
Yes.
exactly.
Yes.
But so it's like, right now, first of all, like the blame, right, is not on Elphaba, and it somehow always ends up on her. So like, she does this wonderful thing, and then Bach's like, oh, I'm gonna go off and throw my hat in the ring with Glinda. And then Nessa takes the book and does the spell wrong and shrinks his heart. So she has to come up with, a way to save him. And she does, right? Because you don't need a heart if you're a tin man. But then at the end, when he's like, what happened? And she's like, it was Elphaba. And
Yes.
like
Yes.
screaming about how it was Elphaba when it wasn't. Like that part, I'm just like, girl, you deserve to have a house dropped on you. I don't even care anymore. Like,
Yeah, 'cause she's
what?
panicking. Yeah, she's
Yeah,
panicking and just she passes all the blame
he's,
to Elphaba.
but yeah, like, have a house dropped on you for all I care at that point.
Right.
Like, you're just being mean. She's trying to help you. She's doing all these things to try to help you. You're just mad.
And then the wizard and Madame Morvel, they're trying to plot to get Elphaba to come out, and
Yes.
Glinda's the
The
one that's like,
chain.
use her sister, like, she will come
Yes.
for her sister. And then that's when Madame Morvel's like, let's change the weather.
Weather. And then the
You
twister comes.
Twister
Yes.
and all of that,
Yes.
and then
It's just
she
the only
comes.
thing is. And then so then they go and sing. Well, and then she does the I'm Not That Girl reprise, which is like so sad, but it's whatever. And then they do As Long As You're Mine, and that song is still
So good.
it's so good. It's he sings that song so well.
Yes,
And he
and
does
he.
this thing again, another like acting choice he makes is he takes her hands and he's like, when she's like, I need help believing that, this is real. He like takes her hands and he like puts her hands on his face, which I'm just like, ugh, stop it. Which like mirrors, so spoiler, right? It mirrors the end when like he puts his hands again, like her hands on his face again, and he's like, it's okay, you can touch, like you did the best you can. And it's like the same movement both times, and they're in the same positions, and obviously that's probably stage, and like, but I just love that acting choice.
Well, that scene, and then the end, they do the same line of,
Right.
you're beautiful. You don't have to lie to
You have to
me.
lie.
It's not
Yes.
lying. You're
It's
looking at things a different
beautiful.
way. And then they do it again when he's now
Yes.
the scarecrow and
And
not viewing himself as beautiful. So,
I love it. And I
I
think
know.
that's just so right. Like, that's just another one of those like things, right? Because it's fear at the beginning, like he holds, sorry, the rain is going crazy. He
Fine.
holds his looks so high, right? Like he is
Yes.
handsome and like he's perfect. And then
Yeah.
like obviously she is not what convention says is beautiful, right? And then at the end, like he's obviously a scarecrow. So like, I just think it's so perfect. I love it.
No, I know.
Love it. And
And
I just
then
also love how Aaron never, sorry, I also love how Aaron never misses an opportunity to take the octave. Like he
ever.
always,
Never, yeah.
does it. He does it in dancing and he does it in As Long As You're
Yes.
Mine as well. And
Yes.
it's
Yep.
my heart, makes my heart happy. And
I know.
it's
I
so
know.
good.
And like the next, I mean, there's so many like heartbreaking moments, but when he comes in and he gets the guards to free Alphaba, but then they capture him and Glinda does that. He's not gonna hurt me. He just loves her.
Her. Oh.
Mm.
And they like hold
The way they hold
hands, like they
hands. I know. And
growl.
he says
Oh,
he's
and like
sorry. He
I just
apologizes
can't.
to her. I
And then he
know.
takes. Oh, and then yeah, and then he goes into the field, and it's like that's the
Yeah,
first
how they pick him
image,
up.
right? Yeah, it's the
Yes.
first image you see. They take him to the cornfield, and it's the first image you see of him like being a scarecrow. And it's
Yes.
like, oh my
And then
gosh.
it's like he's getting carried away, and then here comes Alphaba, like
He's
right
giving up.
into. Oh,
No
that's, I
good
think
deed.
that's one of my absolute favorites. Like, that's one of my favorite songs. And we said it the other day, it's kind of like Alphaba's crazy rolling where she's going. Like,
She
she's
is.
trying to save the whole thing, but like
Yes.
losing it. Yeah. So
Yes.
she's just realized like that's just all the realizations of everything that she tried to do. Like, she tried to save the animal. She tried to help her sister. She tried to.
Do all of
She
these
just tried and
things.
tried and tried and tried. And then she's like, okay, like I'm done. No more.
Yes. Yeah. She's like, that's when her moment, she
Yeah.
realizes, like, I'm not going to be doing stuff
Yep.
for anybody else, right? Like, I'm going to do stuff for me. I'm not going to worry about anybody. And I
Yeah.
just like her, like, this, the Fiero screams, right? Like, at the end, I just,
Yeah, she, like
oh,
she
it just
screams
makes
it
my
coming
heart.
in, and then she screams it after she says everybody's name of like
Everybody's
Nessa and
names.
Dr. Dillman
Yeah.
and everyone she's tried to help, and then it's Fiero, and then she just yells Fiero
And I just, oh.
again. It's so good.
It makes my whole like being just like, and it makes your like soul hurt for her, right? Like, because she is in agony during that song and she's
Yeah.
trying everything, anything she can. Oh, just because at that point, like, she doesn't know what's going to happen. She doesn't know, like, she doesn't know he's alive
Yeah, she
until
doesn't know she
Chisri
saves
brings the
him.
note. She doesn't know she saved him. She doesn't know that he's going to be okay, or even that he's going to want to be with her again after that. Like, she doesn't know any of that. And so she's just, but yet she still is trying to like save him and do the right thing, right? Like, go on. I could go on.
I know. And then the scene, I get like getting toward the end, the scene plays out like the Wizard of Oz. Like, I like that it's they don't fully like they connect it without fully, like it's just the shadows of what's
Yes.
happening of Dorothy and
Yes.
the Lion, the Scarecrow, Tin Man, like just the shadows of
Yes.
what's happening and her melting. It's so it doesn't
Yes.
fully reveal all of
Yes.
that. So I really like that. You keep saying
And
choice, like, so I like that choice, that decision
yes.
to do that.
I love that staging decision. And I also love, you can't see it in the one that we watch, but Glinda is on the stage watching what's going down, right? Like, so she's off to the side. I've watched a couple of others, and like she's watching pretty much Alphaba melt. And I, part of me wonders, like, so does she believe like all of the propaganda that's been going around about Alphaba, right? Like that water can melt, because obviously she disappears, right? Like, and that's what the plan is. But like Glinda has, come on, girl. You have to know, like, she's not actually gonna be melted by what, right? Like, I don't know. But she obviously does believe it, because I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But it's just, yeah. And then The end, the oh my gosh, sorry, this is another point. When Chisri at the end, when he comes up and he's like, Miss Glinda, and I just like, because he's been trying, like she's been trying to get him to talk, like that's a whole thing, right? Like she wants the animals not in cages, she wants them to talk, but Chisri hasn't learned how to do that. And then at the end, like you can see that he's trying for Elphaba, and he's like, oh, I just can't with it. It
And then
makes
I
me
like at the
happy.
end how they play like the two storylines, like Glinda's up in her bubble talking about how she's gone while Alphaba and
Yes.
Fiero, and Fiero's like, you
Again.
can't see her. You can't
I
see her.
can't. Yeah.
But like, it's like they both know.
Yes. And it's just like, it's just, yes, because they're up and Glinda can't see them and Elphaba can see her, but she can't let her know. And like, you can just see it all. And then they walk into the clock and it's just, you see their shadows and or their silhouettes in the clock, and it's the Scarecrow and the Wicked Witch, and he puts her hat back on, and it's just perfect. I
Yes.
just love it. But yeah, I sh the fact that like it has lasted 20 years, right? Like this show has lasted 20 years, and it is still as relevant today as it was 20 years ago, if not more so, right? Like, I know we talked about it a little bit, but like the whole commentary on propaganda, and like, I love that it's in Wonderful, right? Like the wizard says, the truth is not a thing of a fact or reason. The truth is just what everyone agrees on. And that's just like the thesis of the show, right? Like, Elphaba wasn't bad, but because of the way Morrible and the wizard spun it, right? Like that's what everybody believed. Or it's like it's all in which label is able to persist, right? Like he goes through a
Yes.
philanthropist or philander, whatever, crusader or whatever it is. And it's like which label is the one? And that is just so still relevant to like today and like the world. And I just think that like that's the beauty of theater, right? That it can give you these big things in this beautiful, fun 2.5 hour show, right?
Yeah.
Like,
And they even said it like this just happened when like Kristen and Adina were interviewed. They're like, what do you think it is that it keeps going? And Kristen's like, it's the themes, it's the friendship, it's the love, it's the forgiveness, which is the hardest part. Like that's what keeps people coming back. And even just the song For Good, like hearing it, like I said, it hit different. Hearing it with Dan versus hearing it with like my girlfriends, like all those years ago, it hits different now, being in like a different chapter with friendships. Like For Good, like let's get mushy for a second, but like I didn't have like you and like the other friendships a year ago, and it's like everything's changed for good for that. It's like that's not Wicked related, but it's still,
But
it's the
it's
theme of
theater
it.
and it's, yeah, no, exactly. And I think that, right? Like, yeah, it just sums it up like so perfectly. And it's also like, but I also love like the dichotomy and like Stephen Schwartz has talked about it, where it's like for good can mean forever or for the better. And like you get to decide which one it is. And you, depending on the circumstances, it can be both or one or the other, like. Something can change you forever, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's for the better. But
Oh,
then
absolutely.
you can also be changed, and I just think like that is just, again, it's so clever, it's so genius. And the fact
And
that like literally everybody and their mother has been in Wicked,
right?
like I've been going, like I was going through it, and even just like people who are Aaron or Moulin Rouge, Moulin Rouge, like adjacent, like David was took his run as Fiero, which
David,
he was.
Derek,
David, Derek, let's see, Alistair Grammer, who was in
Yes, Les Mis.
Les Mis, Megan Hilty took a run as Glinda, which she's great, Glinda.
Anna Lee.
Annalie, who, yeah.
Linda.
She is one of my favorite Glendas,
Okay.
Annalie. Casey Levy, who is not
Yes.
really Erin, like, but she's
Well,
now in
next to
Next to
normal
Normal, right?
connection,
She
yes.
was a standby understudy. Yeah. And then like Norbert, obviously. And who else? Oh, Alex Brightman, who he's not Aaron like related, but he was in this, he was the Bach that we saw in this one. And he also went on to do Beetlejuice. That was like one of his big ones. And like he was also in School of Rock. Those are the two, like I know him really big. Right now he's in The Shark Is Broken. I think it's a play. He's in that right now. But Sam Kahn, who was in,
Yes.
I think I've told you this before, Sam Kahn, who was in Moulin Rouge or still in Moulin Rouge on tour,
Yeah,
he
he's on
was
tour.
Chicory for a time. And then we just saw that. Who else? Why am I blinking? Pretty much like everybody has been in. I looked to see if Tam had been in it, and I don't think he has. I also look to see if Jamie or, and we know John hasn't yet either, but like, I don't know. Everybody has been in it pretty much. It's insane. I love it.
And then just Aaron saying, even in his most recent interview with Paul, like when he did that whole resume
Yeah, the
walk,
walkthrough.
and like Paul even says that, like says what we just said, like everybody's been in it, like they've just pulled everybody. And Aaron says that that's part of why it's lasted so long, is that they keep bringing in like these amazing people. And like I love that he just connects it back to being the most fun that he's had on stage, which he does get to have a lot of fun, especially when he's being that pretentious Fiero and the dance.
At the
He does get to
beginning.
definitely have a lot of fun. But and then when Paul's like, when he makes it, he could be a joke, but it could, you know, who knows, happen. Aaron come back as the wizard for, you
Which
know,
I mean,
years
I
down the road.
yes.
Like, take my
Which is
money for
also
that
how that's a
too.
cushy track. And it is, like, I think, but also Fear is a pretty cushy track too. I think, like, you're on stage, you're off stage, you're on stage. Like, it's not, you know,
It's not a
Christian, like, you're on
Christian.
stage. It's not a Christian. It's not a Sweeney, you know, which I think about that now. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he could totally come back and play the wizard. That'd be fun.
That would be
I mean, why
fun.
not? Put him in as Dr. Dillamond right now. We could do
Yeah, anything could happen.
it. No problem. But
I don't know. It's just like amazing, like how you talk, hearing you talk about Wicked is like how I talk about Moulin Rouge, like how your love for it runs so deep, and it
yeah,
like so I don't
I
know.
think yeah, because it's not the first one that got me hooked, but it's like I think it went Joseph, Rent, Wicked, like pretty quick, and so like you know it. And it's been around for 20 years, right?
Forever.
Like, so forever. And I just, the fact that it's still running just blows. And then also the fact that it didn't win.
I mean, this is how they're getting that back. They didn't win a Tony, but here we are,
Yes. Like, I
20
mean,
years later.
Idina won, and it won like best lighting or something in costumes, I think. But like, it didn't win best musical. Which is insane. Like the one that won was fine. It's Avenue Q. That's a whole nother story. But it didn't win that year. And I just like find that so incredible. Because like, yeah, they're still going. Obviously, like they didn't need to win that Tony to keep it going, right? Which insane.
It
Insane.
is. It is. Thank you so much for talking to me about it and going back. I mean,
Yeah.
you were so quick. I'm like, how about we rewatch one? You're like, yep, sign me up. So,
Anytime, anytime.
yeah. So that's fun to go back and do that and just talk about it. And now we watch for what unravels with Sweeney.
Yeah, I'm so excited. It'll be so good.
Yay.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things that Christina says in that conversation is like when she's talking about For Good and she's talking about Stephen Schwartz talking about it. And she says how being changed for good can mean you're two things. It can mean you're changed for the better or you're changed forever. And you get to decide which that is. And I just love that. I told her last year that I was obsessed with her saying that. I'm like, put it on a t-shirt. I love that saying and that thought so, so much. And I can't wait to see the Wicked movie next month. I have tickets for the 21st, like the night before, with one of my friends who we saw it together on Broadway. I can't wait to go and see this movie and just see the incredibleness that they bring to the movie screen. But thank you so much for listening today and continuing to support this podcast. For more content, which hopefully should be coming, especially regarding Nextland, please follow along at Tivating underscore patiently on Instagram and over on TikTok at Tivating Patiently, and hope to have you back here for episode 104.
I will love you until